You are listening to the Joshua Segafis Podcast.
Hey, Joshua Segafis here. On this podcast, I teach men and women how to increase their attraction, level up their dating game, and embrace the alpha mentality. If you're sick of a dating or relationship life that sucks, stick around. This is exactly where you want to be. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Joshua Segafis here. Listen, I just opened up my new Mastermind Tribe, an exclusive community where alpha-minded men and women can get the individualized coaching and guidance they need to truly level up their dating game and embrace the alpha mentality. Find it at joshuasegafis.com/mastermind tribe or check below. You should find a link in the comments. It's free for the first month. And if you believe in anything I say or talk about, this is the ultimate mastermind tribe for you. Go sign up. I'll see you there and we'll crush it together. Now let's get on to today's episode. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Joshua Segafis Podcast. This is the podcast show where you learn how to be truly alpha, to succeed at dating, relationships, fitness, business, and everything else that matters. How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? It's a beautiful Wednesday. I'm out walking. We're going unfiltered, raw, unregulated today on the podcast. This is what you're going to be getting in the summertime because I like to walk. I like to get out and do things. Don't want to sit at my desk, record podcast episodes in my boring office like a boring person. It's loud out here. I don't even know if you can hear me, but we're just going to get it. We're going to go after it. We're going to record the best podcast episode we can out here in the beautiful sunlight. The energy is better out here anyway. So what I want to talk about today is the spark of attraction and what it is and why it matters. And this is very important for men and women to understand. Okay, so in our culture, we have this amazing privilege, this insane privilege of being able to date based on things like looks and personality and whether or not we actually like the person. You have to understand that going back in history, that wasn't always the case. A lot of people literally had to choose their mates based on what would facilitate survival, right? For the woman who chose the good-looking guy who, you know, didn't work hard, who didn't have any property, who didn't have good circumstances, right? If he was physically weak, something like that, there's a very real chance that if she chose him as a partner, she was not going to live as long. She was going to have a shorter life expectancy, and she was going to be in more danger more often than if she got with kind of the ugly and maybe even abusive, rich, powerful man who she could appease once in a while and then leave alone. You know, he would leave her alone for periods of time so she could kind of have a good life. And that was a much better life because at least she had four solid walls around her and servants and whatnot, right? You get what I'm saying. And this wasn't always the case. And there have always been affairs, right? Women and men would get into relationships that facilitated better survival, but then they'd have affairs with the people they actually liked, right? So why did this happen? And what's going on with it? Well, the truth of the matter is that it comes down to the spark of attraction. And this is the difference today. Nowadays, men and women are mostly dating with very superficial criteria. You know, they're thinking less about, you know, whether someone is set up, you know, to make good decisions, to have a good life, to be responsible, if they are powerful, if they have property. Those things still matter. In fact, those things are deeply embedded in, like, male sexual attraction metrics. Men still derive a lot of mating benefits from having property, being a man of high status, etc. However, women are wanting men who actually invoke feelings of romance. They want to have a romantic experience. They want to feel that connection. They want to be attracted. And men are the same way. Men want beautiful women. They want women who have beautiful hair, who have fit bodies, who are healthy. You know, they want the romance. They want the desire, the affection, etc. But here's the problem we run into with the modern day dating culture, because we live in such a soft society in the sense that, you know, there's much less danger. We have a society where survivability is much easier because we have, you know, a civilized, law-abiding, you know, orderly place to live for the most part. And we have running water, electricity, and sanitation is better. And we have, you know, policemen, and we have law enforcement. We have a judicial system where you can, you know, press charges if someone wrongs you, and there are consequences for, you know, abusing people for the most part, right? These are all good things. These help society to remain more stable and help people to be safer. And they facilitate a kind of a shift in how we can select partners, right? It's no longer necessary to select partners based strictly on survivability and whether or not that partner has the power to help you survive in this world, or the power to bear children in the case of women, whatever. You no longer need to have children just to survive, right? It used to be that a family needed a lot of children because they needed farmhands. Like, that was a part of it, right? There was a strong incentive to have 9 children because, well, that's 9 more hands that could work the farm, and you don't really have to pay them. All you have to do is feed them and shelter them. And so it's kind of like built-in low-wage laborers, right? And of course, you love them and care for them and stuff, but that was life. Families needed to succeed to survive, you know? It's just a much more friendly environment in our Western world today. So here's how this plays into the modern dating game. And this is my problem. I think that far too many people try to exercise this privilege far too much, and it ends up hurting their dating results. And let me tell you what I mean by that. So oftentimes you will hear men, you know, talk about what they want in a woman. Obviously they want to be attracted to a woman. Obviously they want, you know, a woman who's, you know, fit, beautiful, in good shape, etc. You know, they want her to be funny. They want her to be all these things. They want her to have perfect teeth. You know, they want her to have perfect feet. You know, all of these things, right? And there's this high standard for beauty, and we all see it. Now, in real life, not all men are super picky, but we're going with an extreme viewpoint to demonstrate the kind of how this privilege impacts the dating scene. Okay, so here's the thing. Men, you know, if a man makes himself a high-value man and he works on bettering himself, even if he doesn't have, like, the best genetics, even if he, you know, isn't as quote-unquote attractive as some men out there, you know, he's still going to have some options. But here's the thing. His options may not be the same as the options that the super high-value man has, you know. So in other words, the guy who's making $50,000 a year, who is, you know, a little bit older, maybe he's balding a little bit, you know, maybe he's a little bit chubby, doesn't go to the gym as often, you know, he eats a little more pizza than the average guy, you know, he's a little bit more quirky. That guy is going to, objectively speaking, have probably fewer dating prospects that look like someone, you know, gorgeous, someone like, you know, Megan Fox. You know, Megan Fox is a pretty attractive woman, very high value woman in sense of attraction and beauty metrics, you know. So he's going to have fewer options that are like her than the man who is like, you know, has a ripped six pack. He's got full thick hair. He's making, you know, $4 million a year. He's got, you know, fast cars. You know, he's got an athletic body. You know, he's a powerful man. He has a big business. He's, you know, gets it at the gym. You know, he's charismatic. You know, so there's a big difference between these two men, and these value metrics are very real, okay? Women select mates based on value metrics. And I'm making this about men, just for clarification. I'm using men as the example, but this applies to men and women. So just bear with me. So this guy, you know, the older guy, the guy with the thin hair and the slightly pudgy midsection, he's just going to have fewer, you know, options that look like Megan Fox than the other guy. Now, if a guy's value metrics go low enough, he's not even going to get one option who looks like Megan Fox. You know, his options are going to be less beautiful than that, even his best ones. Why? Because his value metrics are at a certain level, and so there's going to be, he's going to basically, you know, attract women who, let's see, the best way to describe this is women whose value metrics are just high enough that he is close to the best that they believe they'll be able to get. That those are the types of women he's going to tend to attract. Okay, and I'm being real with you right now. This might sound, this episode may sound a little harsh in some ways, but we're just talking about the truths of the human mating behavior and value metrics and how they matter, okay? Now, so, you know, this guy might think to himself, you know what, this isn't really, this is not really fair. The dating marketplace is really brutal. Like, look at this guy over there, the guy who's making $4 million, the guy with the ripped abs, the guy with the full, luscious, thick of a hair, he has the athletic body, he's very charismatic. You know, that guy, he's pulling women like Megan Fox left and right. And here I am, and I can't really get even one woman at that level to pay attention to me. I've kind of got these other women who are a little less valuable who want me, but I don't really want them as much because I want that ideal beauty. I kind of want the whole package because I have high standards for myself. This is what the guy tells himself, right? But this is a mischaracterization of what it means to have high standards, to be really honest, okay? High standards involve things that I'm trying to think of the best way to explain this. When I talk about having high standards for yourself, here's what I'm talking about. I'm mostly talking about how that person treats you, how they respect you, right? How attracted they are to you, how they, you know, treat you with appreciation and how they show you affection and just in general, how good, how high quality they are as a partner and also their habits, right? I've known women who whose value metrics weren't the highest. You know, they had maybe slightly lower value metrics for one or more reasons. You know, maybe they were, you know, just whatever, for whatever reason, doesn't even matter. But I would still, you know, thought that they were quality people to spend time with because why? Well, maybe they had really good at setting goals. Maybe they were really working to further themselves. They had a purpose in life. You know, they were striving to live with a high value mentality and they were trying to better themselves every day. These are virtues, right? Not everyone is at the same place. Megan Fox is an example of someone who's kind of at the pinnacle of the human value metric pyramid for women. But it's important to understand that she has literally been born with incredible genetics, but also it's important to understand that she's had a lot of time and money and resources put into being that attractive, right? And she's a very successful woman, so she has that those resources to invest. For some women, it's a little bit different. You know, some women can only spend 30 minutes at the gym because they have kids and they have a job and they're trying to build their side hustle. See, so, you know, and then again, you get some women who don't go to the gym at all and they just work and then they're lazy and they don't want to work on themselves. And then that's a low standard. See, so we have to get our perception of what high standards actually means. We have to get it straight because, and here's the problem. And I'm just going to kind of say it. And again, this is raw and unfiltered. These thoughts aren't necessarily organized. I'm just spitting it as it comes in, and I want to get this out. We run into problems with this because a lot of times, like if you're the older guy who's balding, who's a little bit pudgy, you know, who isn't pulling options like Megan Fox, you might get really, this mindset of, well, I'm not going to settle for less. I'm not going to sacrifice my standards. I'm not going to date women I'm not maximally attracted to, etc. Okay? But this is a very dangerous privilege game to play for a number of reasons. First of all, here's what I would recommend for that guy to do, right? This older guy with the slightly pudgy waistline who is, you know, thinning hair, who's not pulling women who are as hot as Megan Fox, but who has worked on himself, who does have women who are interested in him, here's what I would recommend that he do. And this is how the alpha mentality helps you to solve this problem, okay? So he needs to start working on himself, investing in himself every day. He can lose a little extra pudge around the midsection if he works on himself, right? He could find a style to where his thinning hair isn't an issue. Maybe he shaves his head and grows a big beard. You know, maybe he gets hair transplants, whatever. You know, whatever it is, the solution that works for you, whatever it is, right? For me personally, my hair is starting to thin a little bit. I grow my hair long. If I start to notice it too much, I'm going to shave my head and go, you know, shaved head with a beard and rock that look, right? It's just, we just do what we can. We make a plan. We act on it. Okay? Now, he could also be working on a side hustle. If he's making less than six figures, well, you know, there's really no excuse. If you want to be an alpha mentality human, there's really no excuse to not be having and executing a plan to reach that six-figure income threshold, because that's where you start getting real money, and that matters for everything. That's not just an attraction metric. That's just so that you can have a stable life in the Western world. if you're not making six figures, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. But if you don't have a plan for it and you're not trying to do it, you know, and you're not actually taking action in your life to get yourself to that point, that's a symptom of something different. That's a symptom that you're just comfortable coasting along where you're at. And that is going to hurt your dating value. It's also going to hurt your quality of life, okay? And that's a symptom of beta mentality. That's just the truth of the matter. And I'm not going to get into the technical reasons for why that's the case, but there are technical reasons for it. I'm just not going to dig into it right now. So this guy needs to work on himself, firstly. Secondly, if he wants to successfully date right now, here's what he needs to do. He needs to look at the options he has. And when I say options, I mean he needs to look at the women who are, number one, interested in him. Number two, women who are putting time and effort into trying to spend time with him, get to know him, right? He needs to be looking at those women and vetting them, right? So this is his pool of women they have to choose from. Remember, men are the competitors, women are the selectors, right? So this dynamic is slightly different, but, and I'm not going to get into the basics of how that necessarily affects this, but for men, this is especially pertinent. You know, women are either going to choose you or they're not going to choose you. And that's just how it is. You can't talk a woman into choosing you. You know, she's either interested in you or she's not. And it's based on the work you've done on yourself and on your value metrics. Sometimes a woman may not notice you and you can generate some interest with her by, you know, running a little game, you know, by getting to know her better, showing her a little bit more about yourself. But the truth of the matter is that women are either going to be interested in you or they're not. And this is how it is, right? So you look at the women who are interested in you. You start to date those women, you vet those women, you see what kind of women they are, and then you say, well, I want high standards for myself. So you look for women who have a good mentality. You want to look for women who are going to treat you well, right? Who respect you, women who treat you with affection, women who, you know, show you admiration, who seem to truly desire you. Also women who are getting their life together, living with alpha mentality. So these are standards, right? This is so important to understand. When you say, I want to have high standards in life and I don't want to sacrifice those standards by dating someone I'm not attracted to, that does not mean I'm not going to accept anything less than the best, right? Those two things are not the same. And to be honest, when people make that mistake, and they think that having high standards means not settling for less than the ideal, then they're lying to themselves. Like, that's not the true way of human mating behavior, and that's not a strategy that's going to work, right? Because the truth of the matter is that we all exist on a spectrum of attraction, you know? And no matter how attractive you are, you cannot pull every single person you could ever want, right? It's impossible. You might be able to get a lot of women interested in you. Like, I was watching this podcast the other day, and there was this young, very good-looking rapper who was rich, obviously very, you know, popular. And, you know, he was asked how many women he slept with since he started his rap career. And then he said that he dropped a big number, like, you know, 5,000 women, right? Well, okay. You know, he's a man with a lot of high value attraction metrics, but that doesn't mean he's going to pull every single woman. That doesn't mean Megan Fox would be with him, right? She's with Machine Gun Kelly right now, so she's choosing him over any other man. Is he the highest value man in the world? Well, not necessarily. However, that spark of attraction existed with Machine Gun Kelly, and he was high enough value to her that she chose him, she selected him, and then he reciprocated, and then they got together, right? It's not rocket science, it's attraction science, but it's not as complicated as rocket science. Okay, so what does all this mean? This guy, you know, with the thinning hair and the slightly pudgy waistline, he needs to vet the women he you know, who are in his pool, the women who are actually in his pool. He needs to forget about women like Megan Fox who are not in his pool, because they're not even, like, he's wasting time. If he's comparing the women who are interested in him to a whole category of women who are not interested in him, then he's wasting his time. But this also doesn't mean that he's sacrificing on his standards. It just means that he's dating within his available dating pool. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's no shame in that, right? And there's probably very good reasons for why he should date some of these women. Some of these women might be great women. Just because their value metrics aren't on par with Megan Fox's doesn't mean that they wouldn't be a great partner or that there isn't a good reason to date them, right? So here's, you know, the real question. Well, if you're thinking, well, Josh, are you basically saying looks don't matter? You should only vet partners based on how they treat you and on the values they espouse in their life? And that we should ignore looks? And if you date purely based on looks, does that mean that, you know, you're basically, you know, playing into this modern day dating privilege where people are just being overly picky and they're trying to get the best of the best of everything and then they're calling it having high standards and whatever? No, I'm not saying that you need to ignore looks. And that's where we come back around full circle to the spark of attraction, okay? Here's the thing. When you look at another human, you're either going to feel that spark of attraction for them, or you're not. You're either going to feel like, yes, you know, I could have sex with that person. It'd be hot to have sex with that person. I would love to, you know, cuddle with that person. I'd love to kiss that person. Like, I would love to, like, hold hands with that person when I'm walking down the street. It would make me feel good to do that. This is called the spark of attraction. This is the, you know, the thing about that person that makes you think, yes, I could do that. Like, I think they're pretty enough. I think that they're handsome enough. You know, I think that they are attractive enough that I would love to do those types of things. See, if you don't feel that for a person, then you probably either really need to be working on yourself. You know, if you have no one in your dating pool who you feel that spark of attraction for, like, at all, then a couple things maybe need to change. Number one, you probably need to work on yourself and better yourself. Now, here's the thing, though. If you're seeing, you know, the people in your dating pool and other people are finding these people attractive and you're just not, and you're asking yourself, you know, am I overly picky? You might be overly picky. You actually might be. That is a super common thing nowadays. I'm noticing more and more how people will just, they'll say things like, oh, my dating life, I don't meet anyone I'm actually interested in. But then you look at their dating pool and there are plenty of, you know, there are plenty of pretty nice, attractive people in their dating pool who they could be dating, but they're just, like, not choosing. They're literally overlooking them. Like, I've known women who will be like, there's just nobody out there, and she will literally have 200 guys in her DMs, and the reason that she doesn't even consider them an option is because they're not that peak high level guy that she wants, right? This is a problem. This is overly picky. The results are in the work, man. Like, they're in... I'm sorry, I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. So the proof is in the pudding is really the saying right here. So if you're successfully pulling people... For men, if you're pulling women who want to sleep with you, and for women, you're pulling men who want to be in a relationship with you, who meet your standards of beauty, then you don't have anything to worry about. If you feel a spark for those people and you can have those kind of romantic dating experiences, well, that's the whole gig. That's what you're trying to accomplish. But if you are, you know, if your metrics are pretty on point and you're pulling people who are relatively attractive, but you're just like, well, no, I'm not interested in them because they're not the top, they're not the absolute top level, you may actually be too picky, and you may be hurting your own dating life by doing that. There are a lot of people in this world who don't have super picky, you know, high standards for beauty. They just select from their pool of potential dating partners. They pick their favorite person, They date them for a while. They vet them. If things are great, they move forward in the relationship. If things are not great, they break up, and then they go back and they pick from their pool of partners, and they have very happy, very fulfilling, successful dating lives. They have great sex lives. They have, you know, all kinds of, they're out there actually having relationships and experiencing intimacy and fun and connection, and they're, you know, they're feeling romance and all these things. They're building something with someone else. And I know other people who are constantly, like, very attractive people who get stuck in this limbo of, you know, they only want the very best because they are convinced that that's what they deserve. So then they overlook literally maybe hundreds of other people who would date them because they're shooting for this ideal when they're not actually capable of pulling that ideal in a relationship sense, because the proof isn't in the pudding. Like, they're not doing it every day. They're not actually performing to those standards when they're pulling, you know, partners on the marketplace. And, you know, it is what it is. The results speak for themselves, right? So if that's the case, then what you might need to do is tone down your expectations a little bit. I don't know why people sometimes have such high expectations for what they expect from their partners, but it could be because of this privilege I'm talking about, this dating, modern day dating privilege, where we've been ingrained with this fairy tale notion that we can date just for love and beauty, over dating for survival. But, you know, there's a happy medium to be found to a point, right? And we have to be realistic about the reality of the dating marketplace. We have to realize that it all exists on a spectrum. Listen, I consider myself a high value man. I'm working on myself every day. I am out here, you know, getting my money, pursuing my purpose in life, minding my business. I'm striving every day to be an alpha mentality man who brings a lot to the table. And I know 100% there are women out there, all kinds of hot, beautiful women at the top of the spectrum who probably wouldn't give me the time of day, to be super honest. And I am fine with that because I understand that it all exists on a spectrum, and that doesn't threaten my masculinity. That doesn't make me feel inferior as a man. And it doesn't actually matter, because the truth of the matter is, when I do go onto the dating marketplace, it takes me no time at all to have a pool of very attractive women who I definitely have that spark of attraction for, who are great women, who I date and I get to know and I vet them, and then I choose my favorite one, and I can easily get into a relationship, and I can have a fulfilling dating life, and it's on demand, and I don't struggle at all with it, and that's the reality of the situation. Now, some people may say, oh, Josh, you're settling. No, that's not settling. You settle when you compromise your standards. I just have realistic standards, and I understand that attraction exists on a spectrum, okay? And I understand that I understand what's important for me when I'm choosing partners, and what should be important for most people. My partners are going to have to treat me with respect. They're going to have to show me they appreciate me. They're going to have to show me that they love me and care about me. They're going to have to be people who are on the journey to better themselves. They have to be people who are minding their business, getting their money, pursuing their purpose in life. They have to be people who care about health and wellness and fitness and becoming 1% better every day. And they have to be people who are good enough communicators that we can talk through problems and navigate challenges in the relationship, and that we can build legacy together, right? These are the things that matter. And when it comes to attraction and beauty, what are your standards, Josh? What are your standards? Here's my standards. I have to look at that person and I have to be attracted enough that I'm like, you know, man, we could have some hot sex. I could hold hands with that person. I'd cuddle with that person. I'd bring that person around my friends and be proud of them. Be like, yeah, this is my hot girlfriend. Look at her. She's beautiful. Boy, you know, I love her body. I love her smile. You know, does every single thing about her have to be perfect? Absolutely not. I have yet to meet a perfect specimen of a human. Everyone has little imperfections, and to expect that they're not going to is ridiculous. That's not even what I think about, because I'm not even focused on the negative like that. I'm focused on the things I love about my girlfriend, right? And the fact of the matter is that I get a lot of quality dating time in. Like, you know, when I'm dating someone or I'm dating multiple people, whatever, I have really good experiences, and it's because I have an understanding of the process, and I don't handicap myself with these false expectations, right? If I was like, you know, if she doesn't look like Megan Fox, or if she doesn't look like Ariana Grande, or, you know, if she doesn't have like a just a banging perfect, you know, toned body that's just like chiseled to perfection, and she doesn't have gorgeous, luscious, perfect hair, and if she doesn't smell like a rose every single moment of every day, you know, these things, like, if I had these expectations of women, then I wouldn't have a good dating experience. I would be here's what I would be doing. I'd be constantly trying to pull women, honestly, who were beyond my spectrum, my place in the spectrum, right? I know, and I have a very realistic viewpoint of this. I understand where I'm at in the attraction spectrum, and I understand whether or not I could, you know, potentially get with a woman or not. Because, well, for one thing, I've experienced, and I just understand that process. But two, it's because I have a realistic viewpoint of it. And this does not upset me. This does not make me unhappy. What it does do is it helps me to defeat this privilege that handicaps us, this dating privilege, this, like, you know, this high expectations dating privilege, and it keeps me from being handicapped by that, and it frees me to actually just go out in the world and have good experiences. And guess what? The quality of women who I can get attention from is constantly improving, because I'm constantly improving. And that's part of the reason, too, that we want to embrace self-mentality and become 1% better every day, okay? So it is what it is, and that is an important thing to understand. And that spark of attraction is incredibly important. You need to have that for your partner. But the truth of the matter is that if you could only feel that for people who exist at the extreme spectrum on the end of, like, beautiful or attractive, if you could only feel it for attractive among us, then you probably are too picky and you probably have an issue you got to work through. Hit me up, join my mastermind tribe. We'll get you through that issue. That's a common issue, and we'll find a way to solve it. And I'll be honest with you, this is becoming a more and more common thing. I'm seeing it more and more often, and it makes people very unhappy. People who operate this way tend to be really unhappy. They tend to feel unfulfilled. They tend to be isolated. They tend to not form connections, meaningful connections. They tend not to be having the best sex. They tend to not be having the best dating relationship experiences. Why? Because they're automatically vetting out a lot of good potential partners based on an arbitrarily high volumetric standard that's not reasonable or even realistic in a real world sense. So there you go. That's my spiel, and I hope that you enjoyed it. All right. Go with grace, my friends. Never give up your power. This is Josh Segafis signing off.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to visit www.joshuasegafis.com. Catch you on the flip side.